This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area Tuesday, April 30th, 2013. In a charged atmosphere of students and civic government leaders at Metropolitan State University in Denver, Governor Hickenlooper signed the Colorado Asset Bill into law yesterday. KUNC's Nathan Heffel has more.
Monday's signing ceremony marked the end of a 10-year journey through the Colorado legislature. The bill allows those living in the country illegally to attend college with in-state tuition if they've attended a Colorado high school for at least 3 years and provided documents showing their work to become a legal U.S. citizen. University of Colorado Boulder student Marco Dorado says it will allow him to continue his education.
Although it took 10 years to finally pass this bill, I find comfort in knowing that no longer will Colorado students face the hopelessness that comes with realizing they cannot afford to fulfill their dreams.
Governor Hickenlooper linked the new law to the larger national immigration movement.
We're opening the door. You guys are going to have to do all the work, right? That's the way the system works. So we're going to get you into class. We're going to give you the opportunity. Then your hard work is going to complete the transaction. And this first step is going to be the first step to national immigration reform.
13 states already allow in-state tuition for students living in the country illegally. A similar proposal was signed into law in Oregon this month.
That was Nathan Heffel for Rocky Mountain Community Radio. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that last night, a state health official told local residents the natural gas liquids leak that is contaminating Parachute Creek hasn't affected public health and is unlikely to do so in the future. David Walker, with the Hazardous Materials and Waste Management Division of the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, said, quote, "We have technology to deal with any level of contamination from this site in groundwater and surface water," end quote. According to the Daily Sentinel, despite such assurances, a number of the 100-plus members of the public attending the Battlement Mesa meeting last night voiced concern about the contamination and skepticism about the response to it by the agencies and company involved. Williams Company has estimated that roughly 10,000 gallons of natural gas liquids leaked into the ground from a pipeline leaving their gas processing plant. But Commission Director Matt Lepore said, quote, "He doesn't take those numbers as gospel." Over the weekend, it was announced that lead jurisdiction over the investigation into the incident transferred to the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment from the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. Walker, with the Colorado Department of Public Health, said that compared to other remediation sites he deals with, the Parachute one is actually fairly small, although the potential repercussions are large because of the possible impact to surface water. He sought to assure water users, saying, quote, "There is not going to be any benzene that's going to be in your irrigation water," end quote. He said aeration-related methods readily remove the carcinogen from surface water. Benzene, as high as about 4.5 parts per billion, has been detected in the creek downstream of the pipeline. That's below the state drinking water standard of 5 parts per billion. Plus, the state doesn't consider the creek a drinking water source and applies a maximum 5,300 parts per billion aquatic standard to it. No benzene has been detected where the town of Parachute diverts irrigation water farther downstream. Both state agencies and Williams also sought to assure the attendees that water tests are being conducted by objective, independent entities and labs, with the state having its own testing done to compare against Williams' results. Meanwhile, the Associated Press reports that the Environmental Protection Agency has dramatically lowered its estimate of how much methane leaks during natural gas production. The EPA now says that tighter pollution controls instituted by the industry have resulted in a 20% reduction from previous estimates, even though natural gas production has grown by nearly 40% since 1990. Representatives of the oil and gas industry said the EPA revisions show emissions from the fracking boom can be managed. The EPA said it made the changes based on expert reviews and new data from several sources, including a report funded by the oil and gas industry. But the estimates aren't based on independent field tests or of actual emissions, and some scientists said that's a problem. Robert Howarth, a Cornell University professor of ecology, who led a 2011 methane leak study that is widely cited by critics of fracking, wrote in an email that time will tell where the truth lies in all this, but I think EPA is wrong. Howarth said other federal climate scientists from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration have published recent studies documenting massive methane leaks from natural gas operations in Colorado and other western states. The new EPA figures still show natural gas operations as the leading source of methane emissions in the U.S., about 145 million metric tons in 2011. The next biggest source was enteric fermentation, scientific jargon for belches from cows and other animals. And that's at about 137 million metric tons. Landfills were the third biggest source at 103 million metric tons. But the EPA estimates that all the sources of methane combined still account for only 9% of greenhouse gases, even taking into account methane's more potent heat-trapping effects. The Bureau of Land Management is seeking nominations to fill 8 vacancies on its Dominguez Escalante National Conservation Area Advisory Council. The 10-member council was formed in December 2010 to help the BLM develop a management plan for the 210,000-acre Dominguez Escalante area. Members serve 3-year terms and may be reappointed. Nominations must be received by May 29th. Final selections will be made by the Secretary of the Interior. For additional information, please contact Katie Stevens, Field Manager, Grand Junction Field Office, at phone number 970-244-3000. That's 244-3000. Montrose business owner Jim Elder has announced his candidacy for the Delta Montrose Electric Association District 4 board seat. Elder is president of Eldorado Financial, a financial advisory firm he founded in 1998. The firm and the Elder family relocated to Montrose in 2001. After studying mechanical engineering at Colorado State University, Elder founded a solar energy engineering design company in 1981 and helped form a trade organization that standardized the Colorado solar industry. He is a member of the Montrose Rotary Club and serves as the finance chair for the Montrose Regional Library District Board. Elder hopes to fill a seat vacated by Mike Schrammick. The Telluride Daily Planet reports that for the second time in 2 years, Telluride residents delivered the same message to the U.S. Department of Energy officials: disband the uranium leasing program and leave the radioactive element in the ground. Last Wednesday's public meeting in the Telluride High School gym was one of 4 the Department of Energy held around the region to gather public input on its draft programmatic environmental impact statement. The leasing program was revived in 2008 in the Uravan Mineral Belt, with 31 leases awarded or renewed for mining-related activities on more than 25,000 acres in Mesa, Montrose, and San Miguel counties. The Department of Energy supports continuing the program. A majority of the 20 people who spoke did not agree. The focus of the meeting was to gather input on the roughly 1,100-page environmental impact statement, but many used their 4 minutes at the microphone to highlight what they said were the dangers of the uranium mining industry. Telluride resident Michael Saftler said he was concerned for the health and welfare of the local citizens as well as the potential effects uranium mining would have on clean air, water, and soil. He said, "I've been a resident for 39 years, and this is the first time I've considered leaving because of what is being proposed." But some had complaints about the lengthy statement and how it was written. The document evaluates five alternatives, ranging from canceling the program to continuing it for the remainder of the 10-year period. Released March 15th, after 1 year in the making, the document is the result of legal challenges demanding an in-depth analysis of environmental impacts. San Miguel County supports option number one, which would terminate the leases and begin reclamation of the sites. 12 of the 31 tracts are sprinkled throughout San Miguel County's west end. 17 are in Montrose County and 2 are in Mesa County. The parcels are leased by Energy Fuels, Cotter Corporation, Colorado Plateau Partners, and Golden Eagle Uranium. The Department of Energy's preferred option 4 assumes that there would be a total of 19 mines, 6 small, 10 medium, 2 large, and 1 very large, operating at various production rates. The total area disturbed would be 460 acres. The number of workers would range from 7 to 51, depending upon the size of the mine. Most, if not all, of the mines would be underground, with the exception of one open pit mine. Only 3 of the speakers urged the Department of Energy to continue with its leasing program, saying the controls are in place to extract the minerals safely. The meeting was the 3rd in the region. The department also held public meetings in Grand Junction, Montrose, and Nadarita. The Department of Energy will continue accepting written comments until May 31st. And finally, remember, a red flag warning is in effect today through 9 p.m. tonight. Winds will combine with low humidities and dry fuels to produce critical fire weather conditions across west central and southwest Colorado. This is our first official red flag warning of 2013. There is absolutely no burning. Thus concludes today's newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria. Good day.